I'm joined in studio by the Minister for Further and Higher Education, Simon Harris, who's joining us this morning, Minister, to announce additional college places and new apprentices. Let's start with the college places. How many are you announcing? I should say you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Indeed.
Good morning.
How many are you announcing? What disciplines and how soon?
So 1,056 additional places, Mary, will be in place for September. This year, I'm very pleased to say that they're in targeted areas. And what I mean by that is areas where we as a country have identified a skills need or where students have identified massive demand. So to give you an example of one that comes up every year is the issue of medicine. We're announcing 60 more medicine places from September. Now, what does that look like? I think there's about 700 and I'm going to say 62, but just over 700 medicine places. So it's about an 8% increase. Last year we put 3 extra places in, this year we're putting 60 to give you a sense of the scale. And I think that's a really good example of when departments work together. We worked with the Department of Health on this, we worked with the HSE on this, and we actually begin to workforce plan. We're also announcing extra places for nursing, engineering, architecture, other health disciplines, including some of the therapies, and of course the digital skills, and the full list will be available.
And are these across the universities and colleges?
They are indeed, and they're, you know, when you take medicine, they're roughly kind of evenly split amongst the various medical schools.
You're also making announcements around apprenticeships programs. Just stay with the 1,056 first of all in the colleges. Are you announcing further college places coming on stream in 2023, 2024, or is that it for now?
Sorry, so these are the places for this academic year.
Yes, I know.
And then there will be a further body of work done in terms of the following year. So to give you, to take the medicine example, we've announced 60 now, but we intend to put 200 extra places into the system between now and 2025. But the places, the 1,056, are for this September.
Are for this year. And will there be more in the other disciplines as well over the five-year period?
Absolutely.
Three-year period to 2025?
Absolutely. I think one of the benefits of my still relatively new department is that we can begin to workforce plan particularly for the public service. So I've written to government colleagues and said, will you map out for us your requirements in terms of how many social workers, how many speech and language therapists, how many physiotherapists do we need? And then we'll work with our sector to put multi-annual
plans. So we can expect annual announcements of additional places?
Yes, but I think the difference, and I'm keen to stress the difference here, is it's going to be targeted. It's in the areas that there's high demand and that there's a skills requirement for society and the economy.
All right, apprenticeship programmes.
This is equally important, and that's why I'm very keen today not just to announce the college places, but we're also announcing that there'll be 16 more apprenticeship programmes developed between now and the end of the year. Last year, we saw the highest number of people ever registered to be an apprentice. And this is part of our real push to, I suppose, culturally try and change the landscape here in Ireland, to realise that there's lots of different ways of getting a qualification, and an apprenticeship is an equally valid way. So we have 16 more apprenticeship programmes in train. There's a whole variety of areas, from farm manager to horticulture, software solutions
architect. So offering how many opportunities to how many young men and women?
So these are not, unlike college places, you can't put a number on these because these are employer led. So you have to actually work, you have to apply like you would apply for a job. So our role as a state is to develop the programme. So we have 65 apprenticeship programmes. We will develop 16 more between the end of the year. But to give you a target. We have 8,607, as I said, new apprentices last year. We intend to get to at least 10,000 new apprentices every year by 2025. On current trends, I think we're going to exceed that target and exceed it quite soon.
You've also said you're abolishing the €200 fee for post-leaving cert courses. What about the €3,000 registration fee for university entrance?
Can I just comment on the post-leaving cert piece first? I think we can't, as a country, say we want to help people upskill and reskill and then place a government levy on the cost of going to further education. So from September, if you want to do a post-leaving cert course, if you want to upskill, if you want to reskill, the government levy is gone. You're right, and you've picked one of my hobby horses, is the €3,000 student registration fee. I've been very clear that I think it is too high. I've also been very clear that how I address that is a matter for the budgetary process. I would say to students and to parents listening to this programme this morning, most people do pay the fees in instalments. So you might rightly say to me, well, hang on, the budget's after the college year starts. I would retort that in saying that actually most people do pay that in instalments. So there is a chance for government to consider both the registration fee and how to further improve student grants in the budget in October. And I think they're the two, well, they are in fact the two direct levers in my department to help students and their parents.
And those meetings are happening at the moment with you and other ministers lobbying the ministers for finance and for Minister McGrath as well. What sort of a cut might people be able to look forward to?
Again, and I can understand the frustration for listeners, I can't get into speculating on that. But what I have said before,
what are you asking for?
Again, I can't negotiate.
Why not?
Because if you negotiate...
I mean, it's an expectation for students. And,
sure.
And God knows young students starting are going to be late getting into third level in September because of the late Leaving Cert results as well. They need some hope here.
So they do. And let me unpack that, because there's a couple of things in that. So firstly, for any student listening to this programme today, student grants go up from September. So nothing to do with the budget in October. Student grants go up from September. More families will qualify for the student grants from September because of the income threshold changes. And many students will see their grants go up by 20%, 25%, 30% because of the changes we made around what we call the adjacency rate. That's where we're at now. The next step will be on October. I got agreement from government that in advance of the budget, in September, we will publish what we call a cost of education paper. And that cost of education paper will set out all of the options as to how I can set about reducing things for students. That will give a full menu of options.
You're not going to give me a number.
I'm not going to give you a number today, but what I am going to tell you is I'm unapologetic in the view that the registration fee needs to come down, the student grants need to go up, and I'm intensively working on those matters with government colleagues.
Can we talk about health? Because you are a former Minister for Health. You were the Minister, I think, when Paul Reid was appointed.
Yes.
Is Paul Reid right to proceed with plans to downgrade or reconfigure the emergency department at Navan Hospital, despite the political opposition we've seen now, including from the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly?
I think everyone just needs to take a little step back here, because I've been listening to a lot of comments on your radio programme and others today and in recent days, and I hear a lot of people saying roughly the same thing in different ways. What a lot of people are saying, Mary, is, hang on a second, we actually need to see the full plan. We actually need to not be asked to make a partial decision. We need to actually know. We need to be honest. If you ask the people in the Midwest what they think about reconfiguration or changing to hospital services, they'll tell you that they saw changes in Nina, they saw changes in Clonmel, they saw changes in Ennis on the promise of better services in Limerick that they would feel still have not come. And I think the people in the Northeast are looking with that same degree of scepticism. They're accepting that, you know, maybe there are changes that need to be made in some regards, but they also say, well, hang on a second, there were people on trolleys in Navan yesterday, there are people on trolleys in Drogheda, what about the ambulance service? And if I was Minister for Health, and I have been, I'd want to see all of the pieces of the jigsaw. And I think that's the point that everybody's making. So, and I think that's the point that I've heard opposition make, government make, and I even heard Fergal Hickey make a similar point here yesterday.
But if you were Minister for Health then, would you be maybe using the powers you have under Section 10 to direct the HSE not to proceed with the plan?
That's a very rarely used instrument, and I didn't think it should come to that. I mean, usually what happens here is there's a dialogue between the Department of Health, the government, the HSE in relation to these matters. I think the government's request is very simple here. The government wants to see more information. I did hear Paul Reid, by the way, say it, and it's less reported
on. Justin on the This Week programme on Sunday.
I did also hear Paul Reid, though, say on the same programme, I did also hear him say that the Minister had outlined a number of concerns that he wanted to be addressed and that the HSE would be addressing them in the coming weeks. I did hear Paul Reid say that too, and I think that's equally important. He has a very clear view, so do the HSE. Clinical views are very important, but he did say very clearly that the concerns the Minister had expressed to him would be addressed by the HSE.
These sort of public spats between a health minister and the head of the HSE are unusual. You know, usually these perhaps disagreements, we'll call them, take place in private. Do you think it was a factor in the timing of Paul Reid's decision to go and go so early in his time as the head of the HSE?
Well, I know Paul Reid well. As you say, I appointed Paul Reid as head of the HSE, and I think he's done a superb job. I also think, though, he has served in a very, very unique context. He came into health. We hired Paul Reid, if you like, because of his reforming background in terms of organisational structural reform. He ended up having to lead us through a global pandemic, a cyber attack, and then the fallout of that. I can only imagine, and indeed have a bit of an insight from my time there, that the toll that can take on somebody, the 24/7 nature of it. And I take Paul Reid at his word that he now wants to spend more time with his family and maybe take a little bit of a breath.
But you also know the importance of the relationship between the health minister and the head of the HSE. And if that relationship is fractured and difficult, could that be a decision then in a CEO to say, my time is up?
I think the relationship should always be challenging and respectful. It is the job of a minister not to be the spokesperson for their department.
No, but
to
it challenge. Needs to be supportive,
and
doesn't it?
It needs to be respectful and challenging. And I've seen no evidence that it isn't. I think Paul Reid has stated his reasons for stepping aside. I think we need to respect that. I also think we need to thank him sincerely for the excellent job he's done.
Just a final question to you on Minister Josepha Madigan and the Department of Education going ahead with measures or proposals to address special classes for children with disabilities. But that decision she made on Saturday on RT Radio to name schools, and they would say shame for schools that she said had failed to engage. They say, by the way, that they did engage. Was she right to do that?
I think there's a risk here that the actual substance gets lost in the noise here and a tit for tat between schools and a department. And the most important issue here is that there's 56 children with additional educational needs who need a school place in a mainstream school by September. I think there's nearly the equivalent who need a school place in a special needs school, according to their assessment. I'm delighted that today we're actually going to take an important step in vindicating their human rights, their rights as children, their rights as people with disabilities, by bringing emergency legislation to Cabinet. And I know Minister Foley and Minister Madigan will comment on that later today.
I don't know
enough about the exchanges there. I truthfully don't. But what I do know is, while there's a back and a forth going on here, there's children and there's parents listening to this programme who are frightened about September and they want their government to respond. I've been in the Dáil 11 years. I've watched us pass emergency legislation for lots of things, financial measures. I think it's important that we're now going to pass emergency legislation to vindicate the rights of children with special educational needs. And I think that's quite an important statement we're making today. On one level, it's regrettable we've arrived at that point. On another level, I think it's right and proper that we enshrine people's human rights and the vindication of those rights in law.
Minister Simon Harris, thank you for your time this morning.